Amen. What a blessing that was as well. Praise the Lord for the music and how it just prepares our heart as we are ministered to. And I believe it just opens the door for the reception of the preaching of the word. I really do. And so we appreciate the music. Brother Good Doug Keppel is our next workshop speaker. Brother Doug, if you'd make your way up to the platform here. The unit is under attack. There's no doubt about it. And I appreciate Brother Doug and his ministry. He transitioned as the pastor of the Whittier Lane Baptist Church as well after Brother Frank Wood had been there for 40 years or so. And I'm starting to see that around the city here, some of the next generation of preachers taking over. And I believe we're in good hands. We're in good hands with the younger guys coming onto the scene. Brother Doug, raised in this church, he is my nephew, and so not only was I his pastor, I'm his uncle as well, and so he's been a blessing to me. I'm just excited to see what God has been doing and what he will continue to do there at the Whittier Lane Baptist Church. So Brother Doug, why don't you come?
Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, go to some passages of scripture with me, have them there in your notes, go to Ephesians 5 and go to Hebrews 10. Ephesians 5 and Hebrews 10, I'm honored at the privilege to get to speak. I appreciate the guys that already have. It's been a challenge to me, and I know to the rest of us, and I'm looking forward to getting here, Brother Dickey, once we finish this session, all right? So Hebrews chapter 10 and Ephesians chapter number 5. Go ahead and stand real quick. We'll read these verses and pray and get right into it this morning, all right? The session is family positions defined, and so much the more with that. And so Hebrews 10, I want to start there in verse 25. We've already heard it several times, but it applies to everything we're doing. It is the theme, but it's where we live too. And it's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. We have the workshops today, the messages Brother Abels will preach, but we can apply that to every part of the Christian life. So much the more as you see the day approaching. And in Ephesians chapter number 5, very familiar portions of scripture here. Look at verse 23 and 24 with me. The Bible says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And then look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise." Let's pray. God, we love you, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved word of God, Lord, this morning. And I just pray that as we look to it, that you'd empty me of myself, fill me with your power. God, I don't want to be seen or heard this morning, but I desire you to be seen and heard. Lord, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. God, guide my tongue. Help me to say all that you'd have me to say. Lord, if there be something you don't want to have said, I pray you'd prevent me from saying that as well. God, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to have receptive hearts, Lord, hearing and heeding your word. God, that we would have obedient hands and feet, that we would take it and do with it what you want us to do and make application to our lives. Lord, I pray that we'd leave here closer to you, Lord, more like the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of your word. Help us to understand the context of the subject matter we're looking at now, and then, Lord, again, to be able to use it to make us more what you want us to be as men. Now, God, bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. There's no question as God designed, I talked about last night, he designed three institutions and he created them and he started with the home, and that wasn't an accident. Nothing God does is accidental. Nothing God does is coincidental. We understand that. He's a God of purpose. He's a God of doing things decently and in order, and he established the home first because he understood that society doesn't work without the home and the local church doesn't work without the home. And so God put the creation of the home was the first thing he created of the three institutions. And he did that, of course, back in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, where he there created and established the home and the family unit. It's been under attack for decades now, worldwide, but especially in our nation. And it's just gotten worse, and it's gotten to the point of ridiculous, if we'd be honest. It's gotten to the point of just flat-out silly, and the things that are now said about what should be a home or can be a home or what passes as marriage is just absolutely an abomination to an almighty God. And as Christians, we've got to stand up against those things. But the sad thing is this. The only chance a lost world has to see what a home ought to look like is our homes. You say, well, the Bible teaches it. I understand that. They're not going to read it. Well, the Bible explains it. I know that. But they're not going to look to it. They're not going to study it. So God's plan to show the world what the home ought to be like is your home and my home as Christian men. That's his plan. We're to be the biblical picture. We're to be the example. We're to be what they can look to and say, oh, that's how it ought to work. And God help us, they're not looking to it and seeing that today. Statistically speaking, the divorce rate among Christian homes is almost exactly the same as in lost homes. The dysfunctionality in Christian homes, I don't think, is a whole lot better than in lost homes. And why is that? It's because we don't know or we refuse to be in our right positions. In our right positions. The family and your responsibilities as a man within your family are second only to your responsibility to Almighty God. It's second only to your responsibility to Almighty God. And let me say this before we get started, because I'm going to focus for my entire time on the family. That's the subject matter. That's what this workshop is about. But I don't want to be misunderstood or misconstrued with this. I'm convinced that in our day and time, and many of the pastors here may agree with me, they may not, but I think the God of our generation in Christian families is the family. It's what we've decided to put before Almighty God. And now we've got people that say things like, well, we don't come Sunday nights because that's family time. Well, we can't serve in that way because that takes away from our family. Don't misunderstand me this morning. God gives us five things in Scripture. I'm going to say them quick. I'm not even going to turn to Scriptures. That we're supposed to do as Christians to be obedient to Him. We're to read our Bible. We're to pray. We're to be faithful to His house every time the doors are open. We're to give of tithes and offerings. And we're to be a witness. Can I tell you, those five things cannot be superseded by your family for any reason. Well, I can't read my Bible. I've got to be with my children. No, that has to come first. Well, I don't have time to pray. I've got to be with my wife. No, praying needs to come first. We've got to make sure God comes first, or we can never have the home we need to have. And so we'll get there as we look at it. The introduction, it just says God designed the home. He designed it to work His way. That's the only way it works. That's the only way it works. The Word of God clearly defines the positions within the home. When the people within the home are in their God-given position, the home will be all that God intended it to be, which, by the way, is a little bit of heaven on earth. That's God's plan. You say, well, my house isn't like that. That's because the people in it aren't where they ought to be. That's what does that. But God intended it to be a little bit of heaven here on earth. When the people in the home are not in their right positions, the home will be totally dysfunctional. As our world tries to totally redefine everything about the home, we need to know what God says so we can hold the line. Listen, it's not just enough to know it. We have to do it. It's not just enough to know it and do it. We have to show it forth to those that will never read what God says about it. That's the idea of the positions and the family positions of the home. We'll jump right into it this morning. Number one in your outlines there, the husband is the head and leader of the home. The husband is the head and leader of the home. We read there in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 23, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Listen, I understand that this is 2022, and I understand that, God help us, but even in our churches, we've allowed a certain degree of feminism to creep in, and this idea that, well, hey, it shouldn't be like that. Let me just say this. The ground at the foot of the cross is absolutely and totally level. God doesn't love men more than He loves women. God doesn't love adult men and women more than He loves children. Listen, God loves us all the same. The Bible says He's no respecter of persons. But God has given us specific roles. That has nothing to do with how He feels about us. That has nothing to do with our value compared one to another. In fact, the Bible says we shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves, because when we do, we're what? Not wise. But we've used that to say, well, why can't the wife be the head? Or why can't we be a co-head together? Because anything two-headed is a monster. And God understood that, and so God has created the roles in the family because it has to work a certain way. And so we've got this thing today where for a long time now, decades and decades, it has been that women in the house should be equal to the husband and their position should be the same. Here's the problem. That'll never work. That'll never work. Why? Because God didn't design it that way. Listen, there's not an alternate option. There's not a plan B for the family or a plan C for the family. There's what God created and what God says, and that's the only thing we can do if we want it to work. Now, we can choose to do what we want to do, but it won't work. It'll be dysfunctional, and that's not what we want. We're talking about the husband for just a few minutes this morning. If you're a man in here, you are either, if you're married, you're a husband. If you're not married and you're younger, you're going to get married. You'll one day be a husband. This is our responsibility. This is who we are, the husband and father. That's the role of the man. Can I say this? The other two hinge on this one. I already know you don't have to say it out loud. I'm a man. I understand that there's plenty in this room that are saying, well, if my wife would do right, well, if my kids would do right, well, can I just tell you that according to God, if you would do right, they would follow. You say, you don't know my wife. I know that God created her to follow you.
Yeah, right.
That's how she's made.
Yeah.
You say, no, she's not. Yeah, she is. God made them to be reactors and responders. And most often, now we don't like this, guys, but it's a fact. Most often, if there's a problem with your wife, it's really a problem with you. It's really a problem with you. And we spend a lot of time in prayer and in thought and in maybe even talking and thinking we're getting counsel about how to fix my wife. What we ought to fix is ourselves. And God would take care of that. And that's just the reality this morning. Several things quickly I want to look at. Letter A. We're talking about the husband. He's the head. He's the leader of the home. That's what he has to be. It doesn't work any other way. And by the way, men, we have to choose to take that responsibility. We shouldn't have to be forced to do it. We should understand that's what we're supposed to be. But for us to be the husband and the head we need to be, we have to be the leader of the home. Look at verse 9. I'll just read them for sake of time. 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If the husband's going to be the head and leader God wants him to be, he has to be saved. You say, well, doesn't that go without saying? Well, you'd think so. You would think so, but it doesn't. Can I just tell you, a man cannot be the husband or father God wants him to be if he's not saved? Again, God designed it. He designed it to work one way. He designed it only to work when all the details are right. And the first one with a husband or father is you have to be saved. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know that in a meeting like this, we would assume the vast majority of us know Jesus Christ. But can I just say, men, if you don't, you can't be the husband or father you need to be. Until you get saved. Until you get saved. Why? How can you emulate the head of the church if you don't know him?
Right.
The very picture of headship and leadership that the husband is supposed to imitate and emulate is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, how can you do that if you don't know him? Not well. Not well. And you don't have the ability within you to do what he did and to do what we were commanded to do, which we'll get at in a minute. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Let it be. He's to love the Lord. He's to love the Lord. John chapter 14 and verse 15. I agree with Thorne. I love the words of Scripture. And we have to be careful that we understand what the Bible is telling us, not just in light of how we understand things. You say, what do you mean? Well, if I went around the room today and you knew no one else was going to be around or hear what you said, and I asked every man in the room, do you love God? We would all say yes. But the reality is that our lives don't show that a lot of times. Because loving God is not about saying I love him. Loving God is not about some feeling I have towards him. Loving God is not about being grateful for what he's done for me. Loving God is obeying his word. John 14, 15, this is Jesus speaking. Look what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, that's pretty simple. It is simple, but it's difficult to do. We have to love God. If you're saved, you then have to love him. You have to be keeping his commandments. You can't be the husband and father you need to be if you're disobedient to Almighty God. Because you can't be the husband, the head, and the leader you need to be without the help of God. And if we're disobedient to him, we don't have his help. We have to put ourselves in a position that we're right with him so that we have his help to do what he wants us to do. And that's letter C. If you look at it, he's to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, back where we started. Ephesians 5, back where we started. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Can I tell you this is an impossibility for you to do in and of yourself? You can't love her the way he loved the church by yourself. You said, why did he command us to do it? Because he'll help us. Because he'll help us. The word love in this verse is that Christ-like unconditional love that God has for every human being. It is the love, and I'm not going to go there for sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians 13, that is very much described and explained. It's a type of love that has zero to do with feeling, it has zero to do with emotion, and it has everything to do with action. That's the love out of Ephesians 5:25. We would say, well, I love my wife. I'm affectionate towards her. I tell her I love her. I mean, No, it's action. It has nothing to do with feeling. It has nothing to do with emotion. And the action, if you look at the list in 1 Corinthians 13, we're not capable in our flesh of accomplishing it. We're not wired that way in our own nature and our flesh. So then you say, how can I love her the way I'm supposed to? Because he'll help you. Because he'll help you. But you've got to be saved and love him if you want his help. These things build. If I'm going to be the head and the leader of the home, I have to have God's help. I can't love my wife the way he loved the church without his help. By the way, it goes on and it says this, and gave himself for it at the end of verse 25. Any man halfway worth his salt this morning would say, I'd die for my wife. Well, that's fantastic. Why don't you live for her? The reality is this, most of us will probably never be faced with the choice to give our life physically for our wife. Probably not. And we can think all we want and be convinced all we want that we would. Maybe we all would. But you know that every one of us has the opportunity to give ourselves day in and day out for her? So did Jesus just give himself for the church when he died on the cross of Calvary? Or is it every day of our lives when we need his help, that he still gives himself for us? Yeah. That's loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Again, just giving a sketch this morning of what the positions are so that we can understand them, we can stand for them, and we can try to teach our family to be in their right place. Letter D, he's to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is not your wife's job to raise your children. It is not your wife's job to raise your children. You say, well, I'm at work all day long. God knew that that's how things were going to happen. We'll get there in just a second. And she can help you. And she can, in your stead, fill the disciplinarian role when you're not around. But it is your responsibility. And you will answer to God for how your children are brought up. Well, you know, I would do different with my kids, but my wife. No, you're going to answer to God for what happens with your children. Your wife will not. Your wife will not. You're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture there refers to explaining to them the love and care of God. Admonition is explaining to them the warnings of Scripture that if they don't do what the Bible tells them to, that there are consequences. Nurture and admonition, both are necessary. Both are necessary. Letter E. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. This is one we hear often. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. If I get there before you, I'm going to go ahead and read it. You've got all the references there. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Letter E, he's to provide for his family. He's to provide for his family. Obviously, we immediately think of financial and we think of, yes, that's why I work and that's why I bring home the money. That's part of it and that's an important part of it, but that's not all of it. Listen, you're to provide stability for your family.
Yep.
You don't provide stability if you're unstable. If your kids wonder what dad they're getting today because of your mood swings and the fact that you don't let Almighty God give you the fruit of the Spirit that's within you as a Christian, which is temperance, which is God controlling you, you're not providing for your house. I don't care how much money you bring home. They need stability. Listen, they need security. That comes from you helping them know that dad's here and dad's not going anywhere and dad's going to take care of you like God tells him to. They need that from us. Listen, they need us to train them and teach them. This is all part of providing for our family. Our wife needs stability. Our wife needs security. On and on we could go. And we so often, we just look at this thing of, well, I'm supposed to lead and she's supposed to submit and she won't, so she needs to get right with God. Well, maybe it's because you're not leading like you ought to. Maybe it's because you're not the head you're supposed to be. If you study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what's amazing? And if there's a passage that's not in mind to me and you want to correct me after, listen, if you can show me from the Bible, I'll listen. But when he walked on earth, I don't find anywhere where he sat everyone down and explained to them that he was the leader and he was in charge. He didn't do it. You know why? He didn't have to. Because he was the perfect leader. And if you lead correctly, you don't have to remind everybody you're the leader. You don't have to tell everybody you're in charge. It's obvious. Jesus never had to sit them down and explain, "Don't you know who I am?" Because he lived every moment of every day like who he was supposed to be. And no one doubted that he was the leader, and no one doubted that he was in charge, and no one doubted even that he was the Messiah of those that believed on him. Not because he constantly sat them all down and told them, "Listen, I'm the leader." No, because he did what he was supposed to do. And men, we sometimes think, well, if I just tell them, words are cheap. When it comes to this, they're cheap. You can tell your family you're the head all you want. You can tell your family you're the leader all you want. But if you're not doing it, they don't believe you. They don't believe you. The husband is the head and leader of the home. And by the way, the most crucial part, because if you're not right, the other two pieces of the home and household can't be all that they need to be. Now, before we go on, let me make this point too. Within a home and within a family, it only takes one person to be right with God. But it takes two people to have the right kind of relationship. So if you have a wife that truly is disobedient to the Lord, and you truly are doing everything you are supposed to do as a man, as the leader, as the head, and she just is not in her right position, you can still be right with God. But you know what we do as men? Well, if she's not going to, then I'm not either. Yeah, so let's just make a mess a bigger mess. That's a great idea. No, we can stay right with God. And the principle that's given in Scripture, and I understand it's talking to the wife, and it talks about how she can win her husband by her conversation. That means her lifestyle. But can I tell you that principle is the same the other way? If there's a wife that just refuses to do what's right, refuses to be right, men, if you're truly doing all you can and letting God make you the head and the leader you need to be, God will deal with her. And he can do a far better job than you ever could anyway. But you have to be right with him. You have to be right with him. So we need to remember that. Just because my wife or children aren't all they should be doesn't mean I can't be right with God. I can. Now, if they won't be all they're supposed to be, then the home's not going to be all it can be. But I can still be right with the Lord. I can still be right with the Lord. Number two, the wife is the heart and lover in the home. The wife is the heart and lover in the home. Go to Titus chapter 2. The wife is the heart and lover in the home. Titus chapter number 2 and verse 4, the Bible says this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. This is an entirely different word for love than the one in Ephesians 5:25. The root word here is not the same. In Ephesians 5:25, it's that Christ-like unconditional love that is all action. The word used here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 is a word at its root that literally is talking about affection. That idea that we have in our head when we think about being loving. That's what he's telling the wife. She's to be loving to her husband and to her children. You know, there's not ladies here today, so I think I can say this and be safe, but you know, we're not the same. Men and women. That shouldn't come as any surprise. Contrary to our society constantly bombarding us with the fact that we are the same, we're not the same. We're not the same physically, we're not the same emotionally, we're not the same mentally, we're created entirely different. And that's all part of God's design. And just as the husband is to be the head and the leader, and the wife is not built or equipped to be the head and the leader, the wife is to be the heart and the lover in the home, and men, you're not built to be that. Glory to God, I'm glad I'm not. But we're not built to be that. Why do you think it is that when a kid gets hurt, they run to mom? Because she's the heart and lover of the home. Dad's not wired to be that way. Now, I'm not saying dad shouldn't be loving. Don't misunderstand me. I think a dad ought to be loving and affectionate to his wife and to his children. I think that's wholesome and altogether good. But that's not his main responsibility. Dad just is not as kind and loving. And by the way, that's not his role. I have two of my boys here, and when they'll get a splinter, I can get a splinter out real fast. But why do they go to mom? Because they don't like the way dad does it. I hear I've got a splinter, and I go, "Bring me your knife, I'll take care of it." And they say, "Stay away from me." I can get the splinter out. She's the heart and lover in the home. That's the plan of God. That's what she's supposed to do. That's what she's supposed to do. Some of this is going to be repetitive, so I won't reread the scriptures. Letter A, she's to be saved. You say, does that really have to be said? Yeah. Yeah, it does, because nothing works without it. It's crucial and foundational to the home functioning correctly that every member of it knows Jesus Christ is their Savior, because God designed it, and he designed it only to work one way. Letter B, she's to love the Lord. It doesn't work if she doesn't. She can't be what God wants her to be if she doesn't love him like she's supposed to love him. Her primary responsibility towards her husband, our primary responsibility towards them, is to love them as Christ loved the church, which is action. Her primary responsibility, letter C, she's to submit to her husband. She's to submit to her husband. Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. She's to submit. That means she's to put herself underneath the leadership of her husband. She's to follow him willingly. She's to let him lead and to get behind him. That's the idea of it. That's the idea of it. That's her primary responsibility. Now, again, as the ladies aren't here, I won't spend as much time on this one. But I will say this. If you want your wife to submit to you right, you have to lead right. You have to lead right. The idea of biblical submission is respect. Reverence. Men crave that. If you have a group of men playing basketball, there's not one of those men that in his mind, in the heat of the game, is thinking, I really hope all these guys love me. No. We're not wired like that. But every one of those men in that game is going, they all better respect me. That's how we're wired. We need that respect. That's why God commands the wife to submit to her husband and to reverence him. Because that's what the husband needs. It doesn't mean we don't need love, but primarily we need her to respect us. By the way, he commands us to love our wives, because you put a group of women doing anything together, and they all are thinking, I hope they all love me. Because that's how they're wired. She's to submit to her husband. It doesn't work to lead together. There has to be a leader. Now, any man that has any sense and uses any kind of biblical wisdom is going to have his wife involved in everything they do and all the decisions they make. Why? Because God gave her to him to be a help meet. That means she can help him. Listen, guys, she sees things you'll never see. Not true. Yeah, it is true. Listen, we need to be honest. We're in church. If you're married, we could all talk about dozens and dozens of times, probably every week, that our wife says something that we go, I didn't think about that. Why? Because they see things differently than we do. So yes, we include them, but when the decision comes to being made, we have to make it. It can't be, well, we'll make the decision equally. It doesn't work. Someone has to be the leader, and God's already said it's the husband. Letter D. She's to love her husband and children. Titus 2:4, we already looked at it. Commanded by God to love her husband, to love her children. That's to be affectionate, to be loving, to set that emotional tone in the home. Man, if it was up to us to set the emotional tone in the home, there'd be none. Why? Because that's how we function. God gave me three boys, and with each one, I thought, okay, I understand how to deal with them. And then God gave me a daughter, because God said, now you're going to learn to lean on me, because I have no clue. To this day, other than what God has shown me, I have no clue. Why? Because I don't work like she works. Why are you crying? I don't know. Then why are you crying? I just am. Lord, help us. Yeah, if it was up to me, there'd be no crying. You know the old saying, no crying in baseball? There'd be no crying in my house. Check that junk at the door. Go to your bedroom. We're not messing around with that stuff. Why? Because I'm a man. I don't function that way. But you know, our homes need some emotion. They need that love and care. And that's mom's job. You come in my house right now, it's all decorated for fall. My wife does that with every season. You know what helps make our house a home? You know, if she wasn't there, none of it would get done. I'd have bare walls. Why? Because what's it really matter? It does, though. It does feel much more like a home with all those things done. That's the idea of a wife. She's the lover and heart of the home. That's her purpose. She sets the temperature. And you know that if you come home and she's not in a good mood, man. You can tell seconds in the door. It is not going to be a good night. Why? Because she's the heart and the lover of the home. That's her God-given position. Titus 2:5. Titus 2:5, letter E, she's to care for the home. She's to care for the home. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. I agree with what's already been said that this King James Bible is super hard to understand. I'm going to explain to you what keepers at home means. It means to keep at home. That's exactly what it means. Her primary responsibility is the overseeing and the keeping up of the home. That doesn't mean you can't help. It doesn't mean you shouldn't help. It just means she answers to God for that. That's her responsibility. Just like you and I answer to God for the rearing of the children, but she helps. It's the same idea. This is her purview. This is her area. And men, we need to help her. We need to encourage her. We need to support her in doing that. Help her to be all God wants her to be. And it starts by you being what God wants you to be. Number three, quickly. The children are the heritage and legacy of the home. Psalm chapter 127. Psalms 127 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." The word heritage there simply means inheritance. It means exactly what it says. They're the heritage. They're the legacy. They're what goes on. And can I just tell you, men, that if we look at the last couple decades, we don't have a real good legacy out of our houses. Listen, I'm not talking about in society. I'm talking about in the church. Why is it that they're getting to be 18, 19, and they're gone? They're not around anymore. Well, they do have a free will. They do make their own choices. But if they were reared correctly and the house was what it ought to be, that wouldn't happen near as often as it does. Something likely wasn't right at home. They're what's going to carry on our faith. Now, we think of this. They're going to carry on the family name. The Bible has a lot to say about a good name, and I think those things matter. But they don't matter half as much as them carrying on the faith. It doesn't matter half as much as them carrying on the life of faith that you and I should be living. That's what they're to do. Letter A, they're to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, I won't go back. Letter B, they're to love the Lord. John 14, 15. Those things can't be excused away. They're crucial. They're vital. Letter C, with your wife and with your children, men, you and I can help them fulfill their role by not just how we fulfill our role, but by helping them understand their role. This is especially true with your children. You know how they learn to be the right children in the house? From you. They're not born knowing to do right. Don't you know what your role is, boy? No, they don't. You have to teach them. You have to teach them. Well, what's their role? Let her see. Ephesians 6:1. They're to obey their parents. They're to obey their parents. You say, I wish my kids would obey me. You're the dad. If they don't obey you, it's your fault. If they don't obey you, it's your fault. You don't understand how strong-willed they are. I understand how God designed the house, and that if you're the dad you're supposed to be, they will obey you because they don't have a choice. We've taught our children from very early on, this is not a democracy, it's a dictatorship. You just do what you're told. You don't get a vote. Why? Because that's not their role, but we live in a day and time where the children are getting more of that role and the parents are giving the children more saying. In fact, culture and society, and God help us, even some so-called Christian experts in the area will say things like, well, you have to validate your children. No, you don't. Because the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. So what do you get when you validate foolishness? More foolishness. Johnny, you don't want to obey Daddy? I understand how you feel. Well, maybe today you don't have to. What? What kind of ridiculousness is that? But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Well, they don't need to be validated. You need to help them find their voice. They have plenty of voice. They don't need any help with that. They need to learn their place. Because how they learn, don't miss this. I'm going to go back over it real quick at the end. How they learn to interact with their God comes from how they interact to their parents. Period. So the next time you let your child get away with being disobedient or disrespectful or deceitful to you or their mother, just remind yourself you're just teaching them to do that with God. Well, that's not what I mean, but that's what you do. That's what you do. Last time I checked, God has never come to me when I've been disobedient and said, "You don't feel like obeying? I understand. You don't have to right now." It's not how it works. It's not how it works. So why does it work like that in our houses? It shouldn't. They're to obey their parents. They're to obey their parents. You say, "You don't know what a war that'll create." So win the war. So win the war. I'll tell you another thing that's been put forward by society is that, hey, you got to pick your battles with your kids. If that's your mentality, you might as well just chalk up right now, you'll lose them. It's a lost cause. You don't pick your battles, you win every battle. Does God pick his battles with us? He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. He doesn't pick his battles with us. He wins every time. Why? Because he's in charge. We ought to be in charge in our house. Pick your battles, you win battles. Letter D, they're to honor their parents. Verse 2 of Ephesians 6. The best way I can explain that they honor their parents is to live for the Lord. Them living for the Lord will honor you. Absolutely. But the only way they're going to learn to live for the Lord is if you teach them. And if you show them. Yeah. Letter E, Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. The Bible says this, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. They're to carry on the faith life. They're to carry on the faith life. Men, we have to teach them what it means to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and to love him as their Lord and to live for him every day of their life. By the way, it has to go beyond because you say so. It has to go beyond because the preacher says so. Because those reasons won't keep them in church.
That's right. That's right.
Those reasons won't keep them right with God. It has to be because God says so. Amen. Take them to the book. Teach them what you know. Show them what the Bible says. When you require things in your house, give them biblical reasons. Listen, if it's a biblical thing to do, there's a biblical reason to do it, and your kids ought to know that. It's not just because I say. It's not just because the preacher says. It's because thus saith the Lord. And we need to teach them that. Why? So they'll stay living that way when they're out of our house. Because it's not about dad and it's not about the preacher. It's about Almighty God. That's very different. That's very different. Number four, quickly, just a couple minutes left. The importance of the positions in the home. In your outlines, it says 2 Peter. It's really 1 Peter. I had a typo there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The importance of the positions in the home. We say, well, is it really that big of a deal? It is that big of a deal. I'm going to tell you why this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light, his marvelous light. Show forth. It's vitally important because it's our job to show the world. Yes, my wife needs me to be the right kind of husband, and she needs to be the right kind of wife, and my kids need me to be the right kind of father, and they need to be the right kind of children, but it's the responsibility of our Christian families to show the world what it's supposed to look like. Where else are they going to see it? Well, they need to read the Bible. Yeah, they don't know Jesus Christ. That's probably not going to happen. We have to show that. Letter A, the husband-wife relationship is to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Ephesians 5, 23 and 24, I won't go back there. It's exactly what it says. We're to be the head like he's the head. She's to submit like the church is to submit. See, it's not just to show them how a family works. It's to show them some things about how God's relationships work with his church and with his children. And the husband-wife relationship, the marriage relationship, is to show the world a picture of how Christ relates to the church and the church is supposed to relate to Christ. So let me just ask you this morning, what kind of picture do you have in your house? Are you the head like he is? Is she in submission like the church is supposed to be? Or are we messing the picture up? Are we not showing forth what we're supposed to show forth? Letter B, the parent-child relationship is a picture of the believer's relationship with God. John 1:12. To as many who received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Scripture calls him our heavenly what? Father. Our relationship with God as his children is a picture of the parent-child relationship. God designed it that way. That's for us to be able to show the world how God relates with his children to how we are relating to and raising our children. What kind of a picture is that? Are you a father to your kids like God is to you? Are they obedient and honoring to you like we should be to him? And if you're concerned or wondering how much pictures mean to God, just ask Moses. You say, what do you mean? Well, God told him when they came to the rock the second time, hey, just speak to the rock. Because it was a type of the Messiah, and Jesus Christ only had to die for our sins one time. And Moses in anger smote the rock instead. And what did God say? I'm going to take your life. You won't go to the promised land. And the Bible says his natural force was not abated and his eyes were not dim when his life ended. You say, what does that mean? God killed him.
Yep. That's
what it means. He showed him the promised land, but then he took his life. Why? Because he messed up a type of Christ. Listen, God has us here to show forth to the world what needs to be done. Letter C, the home can only work as designed if the members of the family are in their right position. God designed it to work a certain way, and it only works that way. The illustration God gave me with this is, if you think about an engine in a car, quickly, they have a firing order. If you don't know much about cars, that's fine, but if it's a six-cylinder car, they fire in a certain order. And, you know, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's usually not the case, but they fire in a certain order. And if you've ever done a tune-up on a car, all you have to do is switch two of them, and the engine will not run right. It might run, but it runs like garbage, sputtering and spitting and backfiring, and it has no power. What's wrong? I got things out of order. If you have too many of them out of order, it won't run at all. We wonder about our homes, why they're not what they ought to be. Biblically, it's pretty simple why we've got things out of order. You can have a couple things out of order and maybe spit and sputter along and halfway manage, but it'll never be what it ought to be. It'll never be what it can be. But if you let too many things get out of order, it won't work at all. Look at your conclusion. It says, God designed the home to work a certain way with certain positions. The farther the world gets away from the Lord, the more they want to erase these distinct roles. As Christian men, we need to make sure that our families have each member in their right position so our home can function as God intends. It's our responsibility not just to do it, it's our responsibility to do it so that we can show it to the rest of the world so much the more. Amen? The family home. Let's pray. God, we love you. We just pray that you would help us to be the husbands and fathers we need to be and to help our wives to be the wives and mothers they need to be and our children to be the children they're supposed to be. God, that we can have that little bit of heaven on earth, but God also so we can show the world what it is that you expect from the home and what your relationships with the church and with your children are supposed to be. God bless the next session. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.